That's a very cool thing to be able to have a relationship with God Almighty. Just to be able to, like what we were doing, just praying. Just talking to God. When we look around us and we see the beauty of the creation, and those are things that God has created in just... But yet He considers our lives and the creation within us, I guarantee you, far more valuable than these beautiful natural surroundings in which we live. The price that God has paid for our hearts and lives cost Him a lot. And those of us who are parents probably would have a very difficult time giving up one of our children in similar type of circumstances. But we're not really faced with that choice, so... 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 1, says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Verse 3 says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." Verse 4, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God." Talks about a number of different qualities of that. What I'd like to share this morning is about accountability and responsibility. Oh my God. Here we go. I'll try to do this without the veins popping out of my neck. But you know what? As Christian people, we have responsibilities. We have accountability. Many times we have accountability to the people at our work. We have accountability to family members. We have accountability to ourselves. We have accountability, really, to the Word of God that we know. Now, I'd like to read a verse in Ephesians chapter 5. Where God is endeavoring to exhort and entrust us with a responsibility. But you know, the end result of that exhortation is really not on God's shoulders. Because there are certain things that God is going to entrust to our care that He's going to expect us to make appropriate and responsible decisions in light of what He tells us in His Word. In Ephesians chapter 5, a very familiar verse, verses. Verse 1. Simple enough. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." You know what God wants us to be like? Childlike. In our believing, in our relationship with Him. We don't tell God what to do for us. That's a big, simple key in the Christian walk. We don't tell God what to do. We ask God what we should be doing. See? And then the second verse, it says, "And walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." The exhortation from God is to do what? Walk in love. I guess what we have to come to grips with, at some point in our lives, everybody will come to grips with certain things. They'll come to grips with their children, realizing, I'm the parent, and he's the child. You know, because many times, you know, this little person down here, they kind of control older people. You know, and it's a good reality to get to when you finally realize he's the child, I'm the parent. You know, he's going to do what I tell him to do, not vice versa. But we all are in the process of receiving this word of God, but it doesn't just stop there. Because the question that will come up on a daily basis, maybe hourly, maybe moment by moment, is what will we do with the word of God that we've received? Now, Sangit, when he was here, taught about Happyville. And we had, you know, we just had a great fellowship with them. And, you know, great fellowship here this morning. Everybody's, you know, happy, happy. But see, that comes as a result of a process. You know, it's not like you find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. See, it's learning to make this word of God our own so that it's just, we're living dynamic Christian lives. I stumbled into a great little article here on the subject of responsibility. I'll take a few moments, so just track with me here. And it says to respond is to answer. Correspondingly, to be responsible is to be answerable, to be accountable. Irresponsible behavior is immature behavior. Taking responsibility, being responsible, is a sign of maturity. When we strive to help our children become responsible persons, we are helping them towards maturity. James Madison delineated the parameters of responsibility with characteristic clarity in the Federalist Papers. He said, responsibility, in order to be reasonable, must be limited to objects within the power of the responsible party, and in order to be effectual, must relate to operations of that power. Persons who have not yet reached maturity have not yet come into full ownership of their power. Now think about that in light of our identification and what Christ has accomplished for us. See, in a doctrinal sense, off there somewhere, it's like, yeah, I got it. But in a practical sense, in terms of making that your own and taking ownership of that lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, in my life, is something that has to, you have to reckon to your account. It is a truism that everything which has ever been done in the history of the world has been done by somebody. Some person has exercised some power to do it. Our share of the responsibility for what we do individually or in concert with others varies with the social and political structures within which we operate. But it characteristically increases with maturity. There was an immature Adam in the garden who, when discovered to have eaten of the forbidden fruit, laid the responsibility on Eve. And it was an immature Eve who turned laid it on the beguiling serpent. It's kind of like that, she made me do it, he made me do it. And it's a typical drama reenacted in every generation where siblings and playmates are called upon to answer for their misdoings. Think about your own life. You see, Freudian psychology never allows the individual to take responsibility for his own actions or his own thoughts. You know why? It's always someone else's fault. Somebody did this to me, somebody did that to me, I'm just byproduct of all these things, blah, blah, blah. So you know what we do? We learn to be very irresponsible in that we don't take ownership of certain rights and privileges and even to the point of evaluating what kind of thoughts we have. But it doesn't stop here. An unwitting acknowledgement of this sort of immaturity commonly continues on into adulthood. Nearly everyone has an excuse when things go wrong. In Washington, D.C., common parlance makes ample use of the passive voice to avoid blame by saying, mistakes were made. But there is no rush to take responsibility. There is no shortage of persons ready to claim credit for contributing to an enterprise that goes well. However, even though a maxim familiar to persons in public service observes that there is no end to the good you can do if you don't care who gets the credit for it. In the end, we are answerable for the kind of persons we have made of ourselves. That's just the way I am is not an excuse for inconsiderate or vile behavior. Nor is it even an accurate description, for we are never just what we are. As Aristotle was among the first to insist, we become what we are as persons by the decisions that we ourselves make. And I've told somebody this recently, life is a series of choices. A certain British philosopher points out in his book that the really excellent and central point of a certain type of thinking is the acceptance of responsibility for being as we have made ourselves, that refusal to make bogus excuses. Augustine made this weakened sense of responsibility under peer pressure a central feature of his meditation upon the vandalism of youth. All because we are ashamed to hold back when others say, "Come on, let's do it. Come on. No one will know. No one cares." But as insistent as Aristotle and some of these other people were on recognizing personal responsibility for what he had done, a weakened sense of responsibility does not weaken the fact of responsibility. Responsible persons are mature people who have taken charge of themselves and their conduct, who own their actions and own up to them, who answer for them. We help foster a mature sense of responsibility in our children in the same way that we help cultivate their other desirable traits by practice and example. Goes on to say, household chores, homework, extracurricular activities, after-school jobs, and volunteer work all can contribute to being a mature person. A lot of that is based on, obviously, parental examples and clear expectations. But the thing is that I think that we learn to figure out is that we have certain responsibilities, certain accountabilities according to this Word of God. God gives us the exhortation. He says, walk in love. Be as dear children. Let's see. Look in 2 Corinthians, let's look in Colossians chapter 2. It's a sensitive subject, actually, you know, accountability and responsibility. You don't really want to step on anybody's toes here. And my point, my purpose in teaching this is, I think just from an observation point of view, you know, it's always like, you know, we need to, you know, continue to endeavor to take it to the next level, you know, realizing there's more available. You know, throughout God's Word, it talks about being sober, be vigilant, be watchful, be sharp, you know, walk circumspectly, see? We just don't bury our head in the sand and then expect everything to just change when we pull the head out. Matter of fact, a lot of times it gets worse, you know. And fortunately, we have this Word of God. We have this authoritative Word of God to be able to use as the standard. We don't have to go down to the local bar, you know, and get drunk every night to try to escape the reality of what's really going on in our lives. And some of us have tried that. It didn't work. We've moved to other locations in the country to try to escape ourselves. And guess what? Ourselves caught up with us. Because those same sort of things were there in evidence after a period of time. See. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, it says, so walk ye in him. Rooted, built up in him, establishing the faith, if you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 says, you're complete in him. And that's the most extensive use of that particular word complete. It means complete, completely, 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 completely complete. I mean, there's nothing lacking, see? So if in our lives we feel like that there is something lacking, then maybe we need to be responsible for the type of choices that we are making according to God's word. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Remember verse 2? Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. See? It's the renewing of that mind in relationship to the Spirit of God that's within you that really brings forth into manifestation victorious, powerful Christian living. You can have all the doctrine in the world. But see, if we don't put it on and begin to walk out, you know what? It's such a blessing. Like Ken reemphasized this. Sangit has taught this. We have heard it. Dr. Werbel taught it. Begin. You would have never spoken in tongues had you not started. You'll never heal anybody unless you begin to minister healing. It's true of all of the nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. You know, maybe we don't know how to walk in love. Well, you've got Christ within you, and you have a relationship with Almighty God, and certainly between those and maybe even others more well-instructed in the body, you can figure it out. But you've got to get to the edge of the cliff. Just right here. And you're looking down, you're saying, oh my God, I don't think I can do it. Do you know what God says? Jump. Woo. Because when you jump, God will be there. Begin. Start. See. Accountability and responsibility take us up to a certain point. And then you know what believing is? Having the confident expectation and trust that God Almighty will perform His word just like He says He would. That's exactly what He was trying to teach the Israelites. You know, they walked around in a circle for 40 years on a two-week journey. God was trying to teach them something. Hey, guys, just trust me. Trust me. I'll do it. I know you people are smart. I know you've gotten great educations and that in some areas you're probably even, this is God talking, that you're probably even smarter than I am. But maybe I've got, I don't think God would ever say that, but I'm not God, isn't it? But we've read it before. This word of God is like a treasure chest. See? God exhorts us, encourages us, almost literally begs us. Go to the word. Trust me. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. See? So we have an accountability and a responsibility in this Christian walk to not only receive the word of God, assimilate and digest the word of God, but a corresponding action that then enables us to bring forth that power of Christ into the world. Because if we just sit here in this room, no one will ever know. No one will ever know. See? Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. I appreciate you putting up with the heat and everything else today. San Diego has been having some of the strangest weather that we've had in, well, I heard Will and some other guy talking. They grew up in this town. They said, they don't even remember it ever being this hot this time of year for this extended period of time. So, and maybe it's the humidity too. You know, ocean temperature is like 75 degrees. That's just bizarre, you know. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and truly holiness. It says, wherefore putting away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbors, for we are members one of another. It says, be angry. Boy, God tells us to be angry? Now it says, be angry and sin not. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication, that means tearing down. These are exhortations by God's word of how it is done right. You know what we have? The choice to make these words our words. Because these words are more important than our words. It doesn't really matter what I think. It's what does God think? And will I take this word more literally in my life than what I think? And when a person can get to that point, they are starting to show some responsibility and some accountability when they realize this is more important than anything else. Amen to that? Yeah. Where we own up, because every Christian person eventually will get to that point where you'll be up against something and you'll have to make a choice. What is more important? And you know what many times happens? Excuse. It's immature. It's immature. The purpose of God's constant almost exhortation is that we would grow up, become mature, that we would blossom, that we would flower with the fruit of spiritual living. Well, what are those things? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance. Those are the fruit of spiritual living. See? Those are the things that God really wants us to have, the quality of that in our life. Because He knows that we're going to be the most blessed then. See? And God like asks us to do this much, really. You know, it's just like, woo, you're looking over that cliff and, well, I don't know, Barney. Woo, looks pretty deep down there. What is believing? Where's your believing? Or are you just good at acting like you're believing? Because you know what? We're all very good at covering. We're skilled. We can make things look so good. See. Rachel shared a great thing in fellowship, you know, that they learned at camp that Tom taught about genuine believing. Faith unfeigned. See. That we really make that word of God our own to the point that we walk forward with great believing. That's a great thing to be accountable for. That's a great thing to be responsible for in our day-by-day walks, okay? So, I love you guys, and it's a blessing again to be able to share this Word of God and to be able to fellowship together. So, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I think we'll have some goodies and fellowship and try to get cooled down here a little bit. So, Father, thank you for this great Word of God that we have, and Lord, our heart's desire is just to walk with you. Help us to be hungry, Father, if we're not as hungry as maybe we need to be. And if we are, that you would just direct our paths, Father, that we can be filled to overflowing. I pray, Father, for the dynamics of our lives. And I know they're always changing. There's always things happening. But the most solid thing, Father, in our lives is this word that just keeps us on a steady course. And I pray that you will watch over God's people, bless God's people, Father, and that we can walk forth in the power and the victory that Jesus Christ has given to us. And I pray in His powerful name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Have a good day.